Morning. The story of this Canaanite woman here in Matthew is only told twice. The original version is in Mark. Matthew repeats it, sharpens it up a bit, makes the points more emphatically. Luke chooses not to report it at all, and John doesn't have it in his tradition. And you can see why neither Luke nor John are attracted to this story. I mean, really, Jesus does not come off very well. He ignores the woman. He insults the woman. It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. He's calling her a dog. We have a similar phrase in American. It's not considered overly polite. She could have walked off in a huff, but she doesn't. Scala's chutzpah. She stands her ground, accepts Jesus' designation of her, and turns it around and throws it back at him. Even the dogs eat what falls under the table. It's at that point, finally, that he begins to get it. The O woman, the O is in the Greek, and I think it's larger than the woman in the reading. It's O woman, you have great faith. It's like he's been slapped in the face. What? Didn't expect that. Surely not from her. I mean, Jesus is a Jew, right? And he's a very observant Jew, very devoted to his religion and his culture. You hear it in what he says. He does rabbinic argumentation quite well, actually. You see it in what he does. And even the little details are perhaps the best witnesses we have. Remember the story about the woman with the hemorrhage? In the old translation, which masks it completely, the meaning just disappears. It says, she says to herself, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I will be healed. That's not what it means at all. The Greek says, if I touch but the tassel of his cloak. So the new translation is much more accurate there. But even that misses it, unless you know that the Greek for tassel of his cloak, ton krespadon tutima himatio autu, was the translation used in the Septuagint for the phrase in Numbers, right? The tzitzit of his talit. The talit, the prayer shawl with the tzitzit, the little fringes. And she's saying, if I touch but the holiest part of the holiest garment of a holy man, I will be healed. Now what that tells you is that Jesus was wearing the talit. In those days, just like today, that was rare. I mean, everybody who made bar mitzvah owned one. And you put it on for morning prayer. You put it on when you went to shul, you know. But you didn't go around all day in it. Except for the very Orthodox, the very devout. You see that today. You go out into one of these very Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods in Northwest Baltimore. The guys that wear the big black hats. You know? Look at the side. And sticking out of their pocket, looped over their belt loop, will be the tzitzit of their talit. They're wearing their prayer shawl on the street, under their ordinary clothes, and the fringes are showing. Well, Jesus was a very observant Jew. He was wearing the talit, even out on the street. While preaching and healing, he was wearing the garment that most people wore only in shul. Well, being that devout, and that pious a Jew, he has assimilated the cultural preconceptions, they're called, of his society. A better word is prejudices. He's prejudiced against women. Women were looked down on. There was a prayer that you said every day, part of which was, I thank you, O God, that you did not make me a woman. And another part was, I thank you that you did not make me a Gentile, a goy. Well, here is this person who was both a Gentile and a woman. From her you expect very little. But she is the only person in the whole New Testament who beats him in debate. Grabs his own words, turns them around, and uses them against him. He's gotten something he didn't expect. And what does he do? He acknowledges it. He rises above his cultural preconceptions and faces reality. Oh, woman, great is your face. You realize how big a compliment that is? Remember last week? Simon Peter out on the water till he sees where he is. And then he does his Wile E. Coyote imitation. How goes out, save me. And Jesus grabs him by the hand and pulls him into the boat. And when he does, he looks him square in the eye and says, oh, you of little faith. This is the guy he's just picked to be the leader of the apostles. Oh, you of little faith. Of this Gentile woman, he says, great is your faith. Pretty striking comparison. Jesus has come a long way in a couple of seconds from his cultural prejudices against Gentiles and women to recognizing that this woman has greater faith than the man he has just picked, the Jewish man whom he has just picked to lead the apostles. Could Jesus really have done that? Could Jesus really have been that blind that he needed an encounter like that to wake him up? Yep. Remember what the Council of Chalcedon is? That Jesus is fully one with God in God's divinity and fully one with us in our humanity. That the natures are joined but not mixed. Jesus' knowledge is limited. He was like all things, like us in all things, except sin. Now, to be prejudiced is no sin. It's something you inherit. It's something that comes with the territory. It's part of original sin. Every culture, every religion, every everything has its own set of stereotypes, its own set of prejudices. Jesus had his. What's a sin is to be confronted by reality that refuses to conform to those stereotypes and fail to rise above them. And Jesus is without sin. When he sees reality, he changes his mind. It was meant necessary for him. It's necessary for us. Our culture just as many cultural preconceptions as his did. We have racial prejudices, we have gender prejudices, we have education prejudices, we have income. You know, we divide people on the basis of their sexual orientation or their skin color or their religion or all kinds of other ways. And none of those things are based on fact. And we need to rise above them as Jesus rose above his. It's a lifetime struggle to separate yourself from your cultural preconceptions. I'm working on it myself. My head is there 100%. My heart's there about 90%. I'm still working on my gut. But at least in my head and my heart, I really believe that it is possible for even Yankee fans and Republicans to be saved if they repent. For a lifelong Democrat who was brought up rooting for the Orioles, as soon as he was able to stand up on the seat and see over the guy in front of him, that's a stretch. But I believe it. Where are your prejudices? Where are your stereotypes? Where are your cultural preconceptions? And what are you doing to overcome them? We need to be like both of the characters in this story. We need to be like the woman with the chutzpah, able to stand up and hear Jesus say, great is your faith. And we need to be like Jesus, to be confronted by reality and let reality triumph over our cultural preconceptions. Only by doing that will we become able to do what Jesus did, and that's to bring the news of God's love to all God's daughters and sons. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.